All right, good evening, everybody. It is Thursday, October 28th, 2021. It's 8:27 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. I am the Fakeologist. I'm coming to you from the North Shore of Lake Ontarrible in Toronto, Ontarrible, Canada. I do this show Sunday to Thursday at around 8:30, sometimes early, sometimes late. And sometimes I even have a guest. Usually I just talk about my blog and what I find throughout the day. That usually takes an hour, and I usually go for an hour because that's about as much time as I can stand hearing myself talk. But tonight I actually have a special guest, and she came around yesterday by surprise to the Fakeologist Discord at fake11.com/discord, and I had invited her on in the past to discuss her really, really no-nonsense, plain-speak, common-sense blog. Just about the only common-sense writing that really makes sense to me, because most of the stuff you see around the web is really technical. And by the way, I'm talking about viruses and virology and vaccines, because even though I started off on media fakery, and I am a fakeologist, we are in the biggest hoax in the history of the world right now, and it's trying to take over the world. So it's really taken all my attention because it's the only thing that matters right now. 9/11, JFK, those things are important, but they don't come close to the mass hypnosis, mind control, mass formation going on that is going to possibly destroy the entire world as we know it. That's why I focus on this, and I really think it's so important to dwell upon the vaccine virus myth, because if people can wrap their head around this, it will unravel the whole basis of this implosion of the world with the health paradigm. Because if we can get rid of the health paradigm lie, then the whole tool of manipulation gets flushed down the toilet, and then we're just left with, do you want to go straight into communism because you don't like our economic system? Because they're using this virus to leverage their communist communitarian system. And the only way they could probably convince most people to do it is to scare the hell out of them and to say they're going to die if they don't follow this new protocol of checking in, checking out, taking your temperature, doing an anal swab, you name it. And it also is such a distraction that if you're constantly worried about dying or your neighbor breathing on you and killing you, then you're not really going to notice what the heck they're doing by restructuring the whole nature of humanity, which is what they're doing. It's an awesome task that they're trying to do on a worldwide basis. It's never happened before that we know of in the history of the world, this kind of takeover, and it's all enabled by technocracy and technology. So without further ado, let me welcome Northern Tracy with the famous Northern Tracy Scribblings blog. Hello, Tracy.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an honor. Like I said, you are the easiest to understand when it comes to decoding this virus myth. So I'm gonna try and let you do more talking than I do. So tell us, why don't we just start in with how did you get interested in this topic of vaccines?
In the virus topic.
Yeah. Well, it's the topic du jour, and how did you get interested in it, and is it your main focus of research?
I was interested in vaccines because I've got children, first off, so that's why I started looking into vaccines. But I was also mainly researching cancer, because my mum died of cancer.
How old was she when she died?
Very young, 49.
Oh, that's terrible. That's way too young. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And
when would that have been? Sorry to interrupt, because I lost my aunt and my mom's good friend to cancer, and that was back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah. So was this.
So was this, huh?
This was about 88, yeah.
Okay. Okay, people still die of cancer today, though, but do you think there was an extra bunch of people dying?
They're not dying. They're actually not dying of cancer. They're dying of the treatment.
Right, of course.
This is what I found out with all my research. I looked at everything. I was looking at all the alternative cures, the diets, everything. Mm-hmm. Because I believe because my mum had died of it that I was going to.
Mm.
I actually didn't think I would live beyond 50. So I was researching that for a long time. And I was also trying to stop people giving their money to cancer research, because mm-hmm. I was an animal rights activist and I was coming from the pharmaceutical side of it, trying to stop people funding big pharma, all the animal testing and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was looking into the science of the use of animals in research, and I found out a lot of fraud was going on there. They're using animals, but none of the results correlate to people. It's a complete fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So that led me down the research path of looking at the disease as well. Like, what causes it if it's not what they say it is, and why were people dying? Because they started the war on cancer in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's just gone up and up and up. And the more treatments they bring out and the more tests they bring out, the more people are dying. It all correlates.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual testing is what did I call it? Market recruitment. When you go for a test, they're just looking for new customers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. You get all these false positives and stuff. Like recently, about 3 years ago, my own sister died of cancer as well. And she's only 3 years younger than me.
Oh, great.
And she knew what I was up to. She knew I didn't believe in the treatments and all that, so she kept it a secret from me.
Oh, God.
She didn't even tell me she had cancer until the very last minute, and she invited me. She was living in Thailand, and she invited me over basically to say goodbye. So I went over to Thailand, and one of the last days that I was there, she actually sat down and she opened up and she asked me, why have I got cancer? But her girlfriend at the time who was a nurse, same as my sister, and who was looking after her, she was sitting right next to her, and I'd had orders. I was not allowed to talk to her about anything to do with alternative cancer treatments and stuff.
Whose orders were those? Her friends?
Her girlfriend,
right.
Yeah.
Mm.
So she's gone.
What kind of cancer was it, and what did she do to treat
this
it?
This is what I'm about.
Okay.
This is about what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
The kind of cancer she had was a kind of thyroid cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Just after she died, it was in all the newspapers. That kind of cancer had been downgraded as not a true cancer.
Mm.
So she didn't even have cancer in the first place. And as far as I know, they took out her thyroid because she had the scars. And I did beg her not to have chemo, like years ago. And she told me she didn't have chemo, but she was having the radiation treatment. So that's what killed her, basically. So, yeah, that's how I started, was on cancer research. And I remember I told you yesterday that I did my first podcast with Kraz, but it wasn't actually my first one. I did one with a woman in America. Oh, what's her name? Sally or El Cordy.
Okay.
And she had a radio show in New York, and I knew her through the anti-vaccine groups that we were both running at the time. And she asked me to come on her show. This was years ago. Can't even remember what year it was now. Must have been about 5 years ago.
What? How do you spell her name?
She said Sally, S-A-L-L-I-E.
Okay.
O apostrophe L Cordy, E-L-K-O-R-D-Y.
Oh, that's a funny name. Okay.
She was running for mayor in New York at the time to try and get the vaccine mandates taken down. She was running on that basis, that she would stop all the mandates. And anyway, she invited me on her show, and she wanted me to talk about my cancer research.
Oh, I found it.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Well, she's dead now, by the way.
Yes, I'm reading that.
They got rid of her.
You think so? You think they're getting rid of...
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It was very sudden. There was nothing wrong with her, and she just suddenly died.
Oh, for God's sakes. Do you think they're getting rid of a lot of these alternative broadcasters / doctors? Do you believe that they're coming to one? Yeah.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while. There's actually a website with a list of all the alternative medicine people that have been bumped off.
So you believe they're being bumped? Do you think they're being bought off or bumped off?
Bumped off. They're dead, yeah. Just like Molden. I think Andrew Molden was the first one that started it all off. I remember being really shocked that he died suddenly.
When did you find out about him?
Well, I was running a couple of vaccine groups at the time, and I'd posted quite a lot of his stuff, his videos at the time. So I was quite interested in his work because he was saying stuff that nobody else had said previously. So he was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, boom, he was gone. Just like that.
And I think he died in 2009. Does that sound right? Or no, a little later?
No, I think it was about 13.
13, yeah. So you knew, how long were you following him before you found out he died? Or
probably for about a year. He wasn't around on the scene for very long.
Mm-hmm.
He sort of popped up, and then everyone was like, oh, wow, this is amazing stuff. Because all the stuff about the wonky face, I realized I had a wonky face as well. And one of my eyes goes slightly in, very slightly cross-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that after I'd read all his stuff. But yeah, I think he was the first one to get bumped off.
I find it absolutely fascinating. And in absence of any other decent explanation, I'm still going through a lot of his videos. I think it's called Tolerance Lost.
Oh, I just uploaded 3 of those to my Odyssey today.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're chopped up into 10 pieces, and I'm actually going to put them all together into one big video because it's a little annoying piecing them together.
Oh, well, I've got them in 3 pieces.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen my Odyssey channel?
No, I'm going to look at it. I'm going to look at it now.
I just put them up today, but they don't seem to have a picture on them. I don't know why the picture didn't come out.
Yeah, I find Odyssey really frustrating. When I try and play from Odyssey, even tonight, it just buffers. It's slow. I think it's the nature of the technology. But whatever it is, it's frustrating.
It does buffer sometimes for me, but it's the only... video channel so far that I've been left to upload all my videos, but all my interviews and the three Kras ones,
mm-hmm.
I managed to upload a couple to BitChute, and then they stopped and they wouldn't let me upload anymore.
Really?
But I've managed to upload them all on Odyssey. And I think my Sally El Cordy interview is on my Odyssey as well. It was one of the first ones I put up.
Okay. I grabbed it off BitChute.
Okay. It's very bad.
I know some of you probably don't understand my Jamaican.
Oh, sorry. That's just
accent, but I'm going to try and keep it as English.
I hate websites.
It's gone really bad again. As soon as you clicked on something, you started sounding like a robot again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, yeah. So you're saying that any audio that I play comes through poorly.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Oh, actually, you just uploaded our little chat from yesterday. Fantastic.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Did you put FACOTUBE as a keyword on? I guess you put that up. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I should have put a FACOTUBE tag, shouldn't I?
No, you did. I see a FACOTUBE tag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you did it. You did it.
Okay.
You smart woman, you. I won't play any audio on the show if you say it doesn't sound good. It sounds fine on the recording, but
no, I think it's just me. It's just when you talk, all mm-hmm. I can hear is this robot underwater voice.
Oh, even now? It sounds digitally.
Yeah, it sounds kind of robot-y.
It's distorted, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Are you on Wi-Fi?
No. I don't use Wi-Fi. I'm anti-Wi-Fi.
Oh, so you have a wired connection. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, broadband, yeah.
The only thing I can think of...
You can't really get Wi-Fi where I am. I'm in the middle of the countryside.
Let me do something a little different then. Let me send you a link to the show through Restream and not through Discord. And that way you can come right into the studio. Now, I have to give you the link, so I'm going to... I'll send you the link through Discord. And then if you click on it... There, I just heard it come through. Click on that, and that'll bring you into the studio, and then I'll hang up on you on Discord. And then maybe... Let's see if that sounds better. Let's try that.
Where do I see this message?
Well, if you look in Discord, at the top left of your screen, you should see a little icon of a little Discordian or a little avatar. Click on that, and then you'll Then you'll see the direct messages.
Studio Restream.
Yeah, so click on that, and that'll bring you into the studio, and then I'll hang up. Then I'll hang up on you on the Discord as soon as I see it pop in. That should work.
Oh, you're not accessing my camera.
Turn the camera off.
I have my camera covered up anyway.
That's fine.
Because I don't want Bill Gates staring at me.
No. You don't want him to find you.
So I always have a cover over it anyway.
I don't have a camera, so I can't accidentally turn it on because I don't have one. I have a face for radio. So did you click it?
Okay, I think I'm in.
I didn't hear anything. Let me check. I usually hear a noise. No, you're not in. If you're in, I'll hear a noise when you come into the room.
I have to enter my name.
Yeah, well, that's just your profile name here. Oh, I heard it. I heard a noise. Okay. Now you're in.
We're in.
Now I'm going to hang up on you.
Okay.
On Discord.
Okay.
If I hung up on you there, I should hear you now. Can you hear me now?
Yes, that sounds perfect.
That sounds better? Oh, good. I should have done that in the first place. I actually forgot. That's the preferred way. So now you're in the studio. Now,
I get a drink?
What that means, yeah, here's a cheers. What that also means, you can share your screen. So if you have something to show on your screen, you can share it quite easily. And I can present it to the group here.
Okay. Well, I thought you were going to look at my blog.
Yeah, oh, I'm going to. Well, I'm having such a good time just chatting with you. learning a lot. So I'm going to listen to your.
Where was I anyway? I was talking to Sally El Cordy,
right,
on her radio show.
And I'm going to listen to that.
She recorded, I think it was a whole hour, and then her dog started barking, and then somebody rang her doorbell. It was a nightmare. It was just so bad. So she but I thought my bit went really well. So I was a bit cheesed off that she said she was going to delete it. She didn't like it and she wanted to re-record it. So she said, well, let's do it again. And I said, okay, then this time I'm going to make notes, because I just went in and just did the whole show verbatim. And so she said, next week. So I wrote notes in a book. There was pages and pages of notes. It was basically like a speech, like as if I was doing the CRAS file, which I always, this is why I learned to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't as nervous because I had all my lines, because I can do acting. I've done that before.
Oh.
So I just basically read a script that I'd written. And it went better. The sound's still bad.
But yeah, Blog Talk Radio is terrible bit rate. They use a very tiny bit rate, so it's terrible to listen to.
Okay, so it went okay anyway, and that was the first time I'd ever done anything like that, and then when Kraz got in touch with me, that was through a friend of mine I've known him for a long time, but I can't even remember why I met him. Online, and he writes letters. He doesn't even do much online work except to talk to me. He writes letters to like the farmers' journals and things like that about he was a big anti-TB campaigner.
Mm-hmm.
Campaigning against the badger cull, because they blame the badgers for giving TB to the dairy cattle. And
really?
He came to me because he knew I knew about germs and stuff. And so I educated him on the whole TB farce. And then he like incorporated it into his own research and letters. But I've also been on badger culls as a SAB to stop them killing them. Because TB doesn't even exist. It's a bacteria that lives in everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And the dairy cattle are sick because they're treated so badly. I mean, they give them constant antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
They rape them every year, make them pregnant, take their babies away, and then steal all their milk. And then the cows get sick and they blame the badgers. And the badgers aren't even sick. It's just crazy. It's
why
just
are badgers
scary.
In the same vicinity as a dairy cow? I barely know what a badger is. Isn't it a little...
it's a wild animal. Mm-hmm. That lives in England, and we have them in Ireland too.
Mm-hmm. But why do they make... Are they a problem around dairy cows? I've never heard of that. They're short...
No, they're not a problem. They're not a problem to anyone. Farmers don't like them much, and the hunt scum don't like them, because when they're hunting foxes will often go and hide in badger sets. Mm-hmm. And the badgers will let them hide in there. You know, they've got some deal going on.
Right.
They'll let the foxes hide down there. So they go around blocking up badger sets so that the fox can't hide.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't like badgers. But they don't do any harm to the countryside or anything. They eat slugs and worms and fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Little critters, and they bury themselves in the ground.
Right. I'm just looking it up now. Okay.
And they only come out at night, so you don't often see them. You're lucky to see one. You usually just see them dead along the motorways.
Right. They're sort of, they remind me of a skunk. Similar.
Oh, they're much, much bigger than skunks, and they don't smell.
Right. Okay.
But apparently they can give a quite a bad bite.
I'm sure.
They're so shy, no one's ever been bitten by a badger. So I don't know where they got that from.
So they claim that the badgers bite the cows and then they give them TB.
No, they don't claim to bite them. They just say they spread TB to the cows.
Mm-hmm. How would they do that?
Exactly.
How would they do that? Do they have a drink from the cow teat and then maybe pass it that away? Is that the official story?
That must be it, yeah.
I'm sure the cow doesn't mind. That it's getting
around having parties with cows at night.
Yeah, well, isn't that stunning?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got off. So we got a little sidetracked there. So Kraz was asking you about badgers and TB and cows.
Oh, that was it. No. So my friend John, who writes about badgers, he told Kraz to get me on his show. Without asking me, didn't bother to ask me anything.
Mm-hmm.
He just told Kraz that he should have me on his show because he obviously liked Kraz Files.
Right. Oh, I see.
And then I got an email from and Adam at Kraz Files asking if I'd like to go on his show. So I was just like, yeah, what do you want me to talk about? And he said he wanted me to talk about the germ theory. So then I remembered the Sally El-Cordy show, and I thought, right, I'll write it all down.
Mm.
Because, you know, sometimes I get brain fog. Some days I can reel off names and dates, like they just fall out of my mouth, and then other days I can't even think how to spell when, you know?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I often make show notes when I have a guest. And then I almost never refer to them because I just like to have a free-flowing conversation. I figure if I just ask you a few questions and then we get on to all kinds of ancillary topics like badgers. And then at the end, I only go to the show notes if we just have a really long pause and I can't think of anything else to say at the moment. But I just find that if I know enough about what you're talking about, then I can keep the conversation going based on what you know. You know way more than I do about this topic, so if I just keep prompting you, then you're gonna keep going. So,
well, I know way more, but I can't always reel it off.
No,
you know, sometimes my brain just doesn't work. As I think it happens to everybody, you just have days, biorhythms, isn't it?
No, I just think, we have all kinds of things. We're complex creatures, human beings, and we have all kinds of different things attacking us at any one time. It's a miracle we're alive with all the technology and the chemical poisoning and the electromagnetic pollution. As you get older, you're just happy you're alive.
And all the germs and the viruses, don't forget.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I've really tried really hard just as a truther. For instance, I've been a truther since 2012. I'm actually a little new to the game. So this is, year 9? And I've just decided to try and live really healthily because I figure when a man gets into his middle ages, he's got to be careful and just start doing smart things. So I actually stopped drinking milk. I actually went to raw milk for a while, and then I watched a couple videos on milk farms, even though I was buying from an ethical farmer, and then I realized that cow milk is for cow calves, not for humans. So it was pretty obvious at that point that I should probably not do that anymore. So
I think what turned me off it was actually breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
If you breastfeed your own child,
mm-hmm.
you realize what a personal thing that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your bodily fluids feeding your baby. And then you think of this big old smelly cow and you're supposed to drink the bodily fluids of that. Yeah, it just made me feel sick.
Well, not only that, but then when I found out what pasteurized milk really was, then I realized it's just white drink. By the time they denature it and they white have to refortify drink. With it, it's a long way from a cow. It's
brilliant white drink.
Yeah. So then I thought,
not only that, it's not the breast milk is designed perfectly for the species right. that it's meant to go into.
Yes.
So our milk is very, very low on protein.
Mm-hmm.
It's something like 2% protein, mm-hmm. and it's very sweet, and it's a completely different color and texture to cow milk and taste. I tasted mine.
Yeah. I never tried my wife's breast milk, and even though we did the pumping thing for a while, I actually never sipped it because I felt we didn't have enough to go around, so I actually didn't even try it, I'm pretty sure.
My partner at the time tried mine. He said it was lovely.
Oh, nice.
But apparently...
Have a shot.
Have you heard of the breast milk cancer cure as well?
No.
That was going around a while back.
Oh, maybe, yeah, maybe, yeah.
Well, if you think about it, it's the perfect food.
Mm-hmm.
It's got everything that you need. So, yeah, it would.
Yeah. Well, everything an infant needs. I'm not sure an adult needs it, but...
No, that's true. Mm-hmm. But 2% protein for a growing baby,
mm-hmm.
I don't know offhand what the percentage of protein in cow milk is, but I do know that it causes massive problems because it's so high that it leaches calcium from your bones.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, instead of making your bones stronger, it actually weakens your bones.
Right, because of the concentration and osmosis or diffusion, it will help diffuse the body will maybe diffuse it out. I don't know. I have to think about that. I have to think about that chemical reaction there. Whatever the case, it causes problems. And the best way to describe it is a baby cow or a calf, because it's not a baby, it's a calf. It's eating enough concentration of nutrients to grow into a 200 or 300 pound entity. So we do not want our human children to grow to 200 and 300 pounds. That's the wrong formula.
No, not really, unless you're a big wrestler or something.
Yeah, sumo wrestler. But let's get back to your mother's cancer or your sister's cancer.
Right.
What happened with that? So,
well, she died.
No, I know, but what happened with the... You were going to talk about the treatment or something.
No, she just had... I don't know what she had. She never would tell me because I wasn't allowed to talk to her about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know she had radiation tablets.
Oh, okay.
And every time I tried to send her or my sister any new updates, like I wanted to talk to her about German new medicine because that was the latest
mm-hmm.
and the last bit of my research. I don't really need to do any more research on cancer because that ends it all. It's finished. It's done. They know what causes it and they know what to do with it. But I wasn't allowed to talk to her about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, maybe we... We didn't finish that topic. Maybe it was something else we were in the middle of or we got onto Kraz file. So anyway, so you did the show with Sally.
Yeah, and then I did the one with Kraz and I wrote it all down. And
right.
that became the first, the germ theory, an idiot's guide. That was the first one I did with Kraz.
Right, right. And that was very good. And I listened to that one. As a matter of fact, let me just make sure it's on FacoTube. FacoTube's my video platform, by the way.
I know.
Northern Tracy.
I get your emails every day.
Oh, good, because if you're on Gmail, you might not get the email because I switched servers for the email. I haven't had a chance to fix that yet. Yes, I do have it. It's called Podcast, An Idiot's Guide to Germ Theory. So I'm going to link to that in the show notes. That was a really fantastic one. Okay.
How many? Oh, that's not the. I kept going and having a look at how many views it had had for a while, but I haven't done it for a while now.
821. But the problem is.
No, I mean the ones on BitChute.
Oh, okay.
The original one.
On mine, it has 821.
Last time I looked, I think 6,000 or something.
Okay.
Which, so he said after the show, he said it was the most popular show he'd ever done, like video wise. It was getting so many hits.
Yeah.
So he said, let's do another one.
Right.
And I said, well, what do you want to do it on next? And he said, well, why not do it on what do people normally ask about? And I was like, well, Contagion. It's got to be Contagion. So then I did the Contagion podcast, and I started with the Black Death and went through all the major pandemics and epidemics that we've had down through history, and tried to explain what the alternative could have been that was causing it, because we know it's not a virus. And that was popular as well.
Actually,
and then after that one, I did.
I uploaded your video twice to my server by mistake. I think I'm missing one. So the last one, hold on, let's double check. So the last one, what's it called? It's Contagion?
Contagion Fact Checked.
I have to make sure I have that one as well.
I always like to give them a funky name.
I've got that too. Contagion Fact Check. Okay. I've got that one. Good.
So the first one, I don't think we used pictures even. And then the second one, I said, let's put some pictures in so it's not as boring. So I sent him a load of pictures to put on with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one was called virus. What is it? I can't even remember what it's called. Gone Viral.
Got that one. Yes, Gone Viral.
Gone Viral, and that was all about the story of how they made up viruses, because germ theory wasn't working. They couldn't prove it worked. So they had to go smaller and invent something that we can't see so they can get away with it. So they called it a virus. And they said, well, okay, it's not germs, it's viruses that are making you all sick.
Right.
So that was basically the story of that podcast in a nutshell. And then the next one never went to air. The one where I went deep into the genetics.
Right.
The amino age one, which was long. I think it's longer than the other ones. And it's a little bit more complicated, but I just had a quick look today just to see what I was writing about. And it's not really that complicated. There's a couple of little short bits that sound a bit technical, but they were really short. It's like one or two sentences.
Well, I've got this podcast, Protein Spikes and Bioweapons.
Yeah, see, I did that one after the amino age one.
Okay.
Because there was some questions. People were sending me questions about what I'd said in the amino age one. So I answered them in that one. I just got inspired to write that one. That was one of my inspired moments.
That one has got 3,600 views on FecoTube.
Yeah, that everyone seems to like that one. I can't even remember what it's about. What's it about? It was about the spike proteins, wasn't it? Because people were thinking that they could catch
the spike proteins.
Catch something off the people who'd been jabbed. And I said, well, I've got to nip this in the bud.
Can you hear that okay?
Yeah.
That's Kras Files as well.
Oh, yeah, they're all Kras Files. Yeah, I told you I can't remember everything that I've done.
Oh, this is good. So he does all the production.
Well, all those four shows that you've just reeled off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We taped them live. So he would call me on Skype and when he was doing his show, and then he would just give me the floor and I would just read my blurb. That's how that worked.
Yeah, no, that's good. No, that's good. It's good stuff, and I'm going to put it in tonight's show notes, so that will reinvigorate the posts on FakoTube. What happens is FakoTube is, I put so much content on, it just gets pushed down, and anything that gets pushed down the line gets ignored. People don't really get past the first page of any website, and that's just the way it works. There's just too much content everywhere in the world right now. We're overloaded.
There is, and a lot of it's a load of rubbish.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how you suppress the good stuff. You don't have to censor it necessarily. You just have to shove it out of the way with your garbage.
Yeah.
There's lots of good foods in the grocery store, but it's pushed to the side, and you're drawn with marketing and all kinds of other techniques into the toxic section. That's just... We're like moths. We just fly to the light.
Well, I just wonder what happened to greengrocers, because when I was a kid, we had a greengrocer on every street. Mm-hmm. You had one shop that sold all the fruit and veg, and that's all they sold was fruit and veg. And then you had another shop that sold cakes and bread. And then the other, you had the butchers.
Well, the greengrocer probably went broke.
Well, the supermarkets have killed them all, haven't they?
Yeah.
Supermarkets have their greengrocer section. They have a section where all the produce is out, like a greengrocer's would have it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's really sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just consolidation.
They always put the grocery bit somewhere weird.
Well, pretty soon you won't have, from what I understand, in Lithuania, you can't go to a major supermarket. You have to go to the small little shops if they exist. I don't know how they exist or if they exist as much in Lithuania. I've never been there, but I don't know if that's a true story. But the Vax Pass is in full-fledged over there, and it's really screwing people up, from what I understand.
Where's Lithuania? Is that near Poland?
Yeah, it's between Poland, I believe, and Russia. It's a Baltic state, Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia. And
right. I just heard on the radio today that Poland has got a very, very low uptake of vaccines.
Well, coincidentally, I just heard on the radio that Poland has a huge surge in COVID cases. Isn't that interesting?
Of course they have.
Yeah. That was today. Yeah, well, we all know that the numbers are simulated. It's a giant simulation out of Johns Hopkins, and there's no relation to reality with any of the numbers. As a matter of fact, they're so brazen with their numerology, with the reporting, that they're full of 11s, 33s, 88s. I don't believe one number that comes out of any of the media. Like, none of them are... They only are there in relation, I would say they're exactly synchronized with vaccine uptake. So if the vaccine uptake is high, it's inverse to the cases. And it's not always a perfect relationship because they have so many other social engineering features and functions they like to do. That's what an epidemiologist is. They're just social engineers. But they use their numbers to baffle and to manipulate. That's all it is. It's lying with statistics.
Did you see that video where Bill Gates was being interviewed and he had a book on the table, how to lie with statistics?
Well, again, it's so in your face, so brazen. They're just mocking anyone. They actually are mocking you and I, because we know what we're looking at, where the average person doesn't see it.
I think it started out as a kind of secret code between each other, like especially on the mainstream media. I think they would put the numbers out to tell the others in their secret group what was going on.
Yeah.
but too many people have learned the codes now. There's so many people into the numerology.
But I don't think they've stopped doing it, though. I still don't think it's enough.
They haven't stopped. They can't stop because that's just their method.
Yeah, yeah.
They're stuck in their method and they won't change it.
Even in Toronto, whenever there is a big crime story that happens at 3:30 a.m., it's always 3:30, 33 plus a zero. You almost know for sure it's fake.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like to drive at 3:30 in the morning because...
I had a really weird thing happen to me the other day on Odyssey, actually. Mm-hmm. I went to watch a video. I can't remember which video it was now, but it was something special. Maybe it was a Lanka one. I don't know. Could have been a Stefan Lanka video. And as I started watching it, they pay you for watching video and it pops up how much you've got. And it's a bit like a lottery.
Mm.
So sometimes you'll get 0.02 of a whatever their coin is called on Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'll get 17. But this time I got 100, which is like winning the jackpot. It's happened twice now.
Wow.
I've got 100. And when I looked at my total, the numbers on my total were 33777.
Well, they really numerologized you right there.
I see that as a message.
Yeah.
from the cosmos, not from them.
Yeah, I wish. Yeah, okay.
777 is meant to be the number of Jesus, or it's some kind of angel number.
Mm.
But it's a really good number, and it's the opposite of 666.
Oh, okay.
And then to have 33 in front of it, I was just like, wow.
Mm.
So I had to make a post about that.
Well, that definitely couldn't have been random. That was definitely engineered for you. Maybe.
No.
No? You really think it was random? Random number that you got it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I don't believe in coincidences.
I don't believe in coincidences either, but I don't believe it was them.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was the good ones.
No, okay. Well, it's possible.
Yeah.
Your latest post is all about that measles trial. And you were telling me yesterday or the day or another time you're translating this, and this is from a couple of years ago that Stefan Lanka won the trial?
2017, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the article that I translated, it was available on his online magazine, but I think you had to pay for it. And it was in German, so it wasn't open to the public. Somebody did a bot translation last year, a robot translation, mm-hmm. and it was pretty dire. It was pretty awful.
Right.
So John Blade, he's the guy who I work with on these translations, he asked me to fix it, basically, retranslate. And it's just so much easier to read now, I think. And there's so much in there. People need to revisit it because he's going to be using this court case because it did set a precedent and it did make a new... When you win something in court, it becomes case law.
Right.
And any other case that comes up that's pertinent to... this, which is isolated viruses, you can use that case law to prove that you're right because it's already been proven in court. So that's how important this court case was. Mm-hmm. And if you look on my post, I posted this, the one that I posted yesterday, The post that I posted yesterday, what was it called?
Sorry, I'm just reading the German one. The measles. Virology is dead.
The one that I posted yesterday, Virology is Dead. I posted that on my Bastion. And I got one of those little oiks that come along and say, oh, that court case was rubbish. It was all about the money. He just didn't want to pay the money, and he should have. So I put his comment in this new one, all about the measles trial.
Have you heard of Reimer Fulmich? Reiner Fulmich? He's a German.
Yes. Yeah, he's doing the supposedly the big court case against COVID, isn't he? But he's doing it legally. So yeah. I don't... Is that me?
I think you just pressed your...
With my wires.
Yeah, your Discord button.
He's going down the legal route. So,
well, does he know about Stefan Lanka? Well, why wouldn't he bring up Stefan's case? Isn't it already settled? Or is
that's
it different?
That's why I don't trust him.
Right. Couldn't he just say, we've got Stefan Lanka, this is case law? So do you think he's just controlled the opposition to take us into nowhere land?
I do, because he's got he's got that Irish virologist on his team. What's her name?
All right.
The
Dorothy something. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Dolores,
Cahill. Cahill.
Yeah, he's got her on his team, and she's a virologist. And she does know about the trial, and she does know about Lanka, but she's still not opening her mouth about it. So I think it's a money-making operation myself.
Or just a distraction. Because ultimately, as I've said before, this is not about health. It's not about virology. It's not about a vaccine. It's about bringing in the worldwide global digital ID and really making us all human resources, just like cattle. So if they can get the digital ID 100% enforced around the world, which is going to be it's an extremely tall order. It's an extremely difficult thing to do. But if they can get even 80%, and then make the other 20% their lives miserable without being able to unlock any door around the world, then they've won, and then they could debate the virus virology vaccine into the next 100 years, but it's not the point anymore because they've got their infrastructure that they wanted. They could let people fight about viruses and all the little intricacies around them, but they've already achieved their goal. I really think that they don't care if people are arguing about viruses and what causes this and that and how many people die of the vaccine. It's not the point. It's the misdirection.
It isn't the point, ultimately, but it is the point that gets us there.
Yes, yes.
They couldn't have done it without the virus.
That's right.
They had to have the fear.
That's it. You got it.
And once the fear's gone, people won't do as they're told anymore. They'll see right through it.
I'm very bad at interrupting, but I'm sorry. Did you see the video where they're coercing pigs into a pen?
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
And that's us.
One of my vegan friends posted about that.
Okay.
And she was all like, I bet people won't even see what's going on here. Yeah.
Where do you have that video isolated? Because I saw it as part of a mashup in another video. Do you have that?
It was in the mashup.
Oh, you saw it in the mashup. Yeah. I thought it was brilliant. It's exactly what's happening to us right now.
I know. It was so genius. I was the big fat one that wouldn't go anywhere near the pen.
Well, that was the mother.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. Yeah, she was the only one with a little bit of experience and an understanding that there's something wrong, but the children, no problem, just like Hansel and Gretel.
But did you see the Pam Popper video that you posted today? Did you watch it?
I did. Yeah, I watched that all the way to the end. It gave me a little bit of hope.
Yeah, it did me too. It's very good. But she's a bit like me. She doesn't believe that it's going to work. Because when you say they've got to get 80% to buy into this,
I'm just guessing.
Even if they do get 80%, the rest of them are going to end up like the Amish. They're just going to have their own little communities living on their own outside of society, like the Amish already do.
Right.
And then people will see that those people are happier, they're healthier, they're living their life, and they don't need all this crap. So I don't see how they can really make it work, really. I don't believe they will. I think it'll all fall apart soon. It's just, it's got to get worse before it gets better. That's the worst bit. We've got to go through some shit first.
Well, unfortunately, I think children have to die. I hate to say it, but...
Well, yeah, but the children have been dying for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Look at SIDS. Look at the all the kids that get supposed polio and stuff like that, which is just vaccine damage.
Yeah.
And the autistic kids and everything, all these, the kids with leukemia, all of it is caused by vaccines. All these sick kids.
I know.
So they've been doing it for a long, long time. It's just, it's only now that people will actually see it. Whereas they didn't see it before. We weren't allowed to talk about it. All the vaccine groups were shut up and censored. We've been censored for years. And if you said that vaccines cause autism, you were automatically an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been going on for a long time. It's all that's happened is, instead of it just being in a little concentrated group of us anti-vaxxers, now it's the whole of society starting to happen. So in a way, it's a good thing.
I call it the Hail Mary pass. I think the vaccine business was waning.
I think it was on its death throes. I think this is a massive last-ditch attempt to make as much money as they can out of it. Because as I said yesterday, it's not even a vaccine. They're not even using a vaccine. They're just using the name.
Yeah. I don't even
think that vaccines are going to be used anymore. I think they've given up on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was supposed to be the new miracle, the new vaccinating. It was going to replace all healthcare, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They were just going to tamper with our genes, which is funny because they don't even know what genes are.
Yeah, I don't believe in genes either. And one of the things that I've heard over the last couple of days is if they want to pour their money into a complete misdirection, they just say, well, it's probably a genetic disease, and then they spend all their money researching it, knowing that it will get nowhere and it will get no answers because there is no such thing as genes.
Yeah.
So they know that, so they're happy to divert all the money into genetic research because they know it'll go nowhere. As long as people aren't talking about what actually makes you sick, they don't care what you come up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This
was the process that I went through with the three things, the three trilogy. They started off saying everything was, it used to be spirits before. Then it was germs.
Right.
Then it was viruses. Then it was genes. And that's the end of the line. And actually, you've come full circle now because we're actually starting to hear more about energy medicine and healing your soul and your spirit. And German New Medicine is kind of talking about how the psyche affects your health. Like if you have a shock, it affects a certain part of your body. Like if you have a shock where you think you're going to die, that affects your lungs. That's where lung cancer comes from. Breast cancer is to do with losing a partner or a child.
I thought it was mammograms as well.
Well, mammograms just injure your breasts, basically.
That's right.
And x-rays. But, I mean, I'm not saying that German New Medicine has the answer to every single disease, because it doesn't take into account being poisoned and EMFs and radiation is a form of poisoning mm-hmm. or injury.
Yes.
So you've got the three causes of disease: injury,
yeah,
poisoning, yeah, malnutrition.
Right. Exactly.
Those are the only three things that make us sick.
I agree with that.
And then in German New Medicine, I guess the psyche thing is a form of injury because it's a mental injury, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I just read about some story about some guy who got locked in a cold box car, a refrigerator car, and then he locked himself in, and then he convinced himself he was going to freeze to death, and he did die when they popped open the, I don't know if it's a true story or not, but when they popped it open, they found the temperature was 56 degrees. So he literally convinced himself he was going to freeze to death, and he died, but it wasn't frozen.
Well, that's the exact voodoo effect that I talked about in my cancer talk.
Mm.
Like when you go to the doctor and he sits you down and says, right, I'm sorry to tell you, you've got cancer.
Right.
And then you always say, well, how long have I got, doctor? And he's like, well, I'll give you 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And most people will promptly die in 6 weeks because they've been told to. And they believe they're going to.
It's crazy. It is crazy. And I think my grandmother willed herself to die too, because she wanted to die before my grandfather. She just mm-hmm. said, I don't want to be here if you're gone. So I'm going first. And she did have, well, she was over 90, but she still psyched herself out and, I think made herself sick. I can't even remember what she died of.
Really weird, because I was just listening to a video that somebody sent me just today. And I was just listening to it before I came on the show by Florence Scovel Shin.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I think she died in the 1940s.
So okay.
Quite a long time ago. And she was talking about all that stuff, but not necessarily about illness, but everything like to do with money and wellness and things going wrong in your life. But she's made all these different affirmations that you can say, and basically you have to ask the cosmos or whatever you want to call it, God, the cosmos. She calls it, what did she call it? Oh, I can't remember now. She had a really good word for it, the infinite something.
The Game of Life and How to Play It. It's her book.
That's it, yes. How did you know?
Because I just pulled up her Wikipedia page.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, there's a video on YouTube of her reading it out loud, so I've just been listening to that today.
Oh, okay.
And it's fantastic.
I'm going to look
really
it up.
Good. Yeah, we should all be doing these affirmations, and we can stop them taking over the world, maybe. I'll see. I'll try it anyway. It's worth a try, isn't it?
Sure. Send some real positive energy through the ether, if there is such a thing as ether.
Well, I know that whenever every time in my life when I've thought that I was going to run out of money and I wasn't going to be able to pay, like get food or something, it would get to the point where I was starting to panic, I would always feel really calm, because it happens to me every time, something always turns up, and I believe that that's something to do with that. If you just believe everything's going to be all right, it will be.
Our mind is so powerful, and it could be more magical than just a positive thought and driving towards that positive thought, or there could be some extra electrical energies.
You have to do more than just positive thinking, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's the way I'm going now, because I've been through all the germ theory and everything now, and then there was a weird article I did, Aren't We Human After All? Because I was trying to, Krasfile guy kept asking me to do a talk on transhumanism. But I just didn't have the heart for it. I was just like, I don't believe they can actually make us into robots. I can't get my head around it at all.
By the way, that book you mentioned, The Game of Life and How to Play It, that was posted on YouTube a year ago. It's got 3 million views. For a book to be, for an audio book to have 3 million views in a year is insane.
You have to listen to it.
That's insane. Really good. It says here on the pinned comment that a person named 333, Davina.Shiva333, posted it on TikTok, so she may have given it quite a kick, because all the young, all the important people, all the young people are on TikTok. So, but now I have to listen to it, because 3 million views, that's insane.
Well, you have a listen to it. Let me know what you think. Put it on your Faco tube.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
So you've gone through the whole thing?
I listened to it before I came on the show, yeah. I've only just finished listening to it.
No, but it's in 4 parts, 2 hours each. Is that right?
Oh, I've only listened to the first one.
Oh, okay. It's chopped.
It's 9 chapters. It was 2 hours long.
Okay. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, it looks like Nevolution is some YouTube channel that posts a lot of different books like that. Or similar.
So anyway, I was trying to think about this transhumanism thing, and I can't remember what happened. Things kept like coming at me, like I kept seeing things, or somebody would say something. It was just like people were trying to give me messages, and then I just started writing that article, and it had loads of stuff in it about the Bible, about Adam and Eve and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really weird. I don't really know where it came from, but I got loads of comments on that one. Loads of people were like, "Oh wow, this is really interesting." So I think I'm sort of moving in that direction next. I ordered on the internet a tuning fork after I watched a video about this woman that heals people by retuning their frequencies with tuning forks.
Sure.
And I really liked the sound of that, because that sort of resonated with me.
And that's what it is supposed to do. Tuning forks are for residents. Make sure you don't break any crystal or your windows there. Be careful.
It's an om. It's the om tune on mine. And it came today. It just came today. Which is really funny, because just last night, oh no, it was this morning, I was thinking, I wonder if my tuning fork's nearly here. And I was going to have a look on Amazon. I was going to go and see where it was, if it got lost in the ether or something. Mm-hmm. And then I went outside. I had to go to the shop. That was it.
And you willed it over.
You willed it over.
It's funny because our postman, I don't know what's wrong with him. He doesn't like my front door for some reason.
Right.
He comes round the back and he puts all my post in my car. So I go to the shop and I find my post on the seat when I get in the car. So there it was, my tuning fork's here. So I've been playing with that today as well. Which is funny.
You've had a good day.
You've had a good day.
Yeah, I have had a good day, actually.
Actually, I'm echoing back through you now, I think. Did you change something on your end?
No, I haven't touched anything.
Okay, that's annoying.
It's all you doing robot voice and echoes and things.
Okay, I don't know why.
Did you read this, Aren't We Human After All? Did you read it at all?
Where was that? Sorry.
On my blog.
I've read everything on your blog. Well, let me look here. When was that? Don't forget, I'm suffering from information overload on a daily basis. Oh. But I read everything you put up.
Yeah, I turn off as soon as something mentions something that I don't agree with, I turn off. Like if they start giving me data or graphs, that's it, I'm out. I don't even want to read any of that stuff anymore. I'm more interested in people who've gone further than me so I can learn from them. I'm not going to learn anything from people who are giving out data and graphs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't tend to watch everything. I'll watch the first few minutes, and if it's resonating with me, then I'll watch it. I tell you what I did like. I like that really short one that came that you posted today, The Plan.
On Fake really or
Two? It's a very short one of a man just telling basically what the plan is.
Yes.
But he's taking the piss with it as well. And it's hilarious.
Yes, I've seen this guy before. He's on TikTok.
Yeah, I've never seen him.
I'll play a bit.
The economy. The financial system, as we all know it, is fucked. It's irreparable. All the governments know it, right? So the plan is to replace it and all of our systems. Financial, economic, civil, with something completely brand new. The plan has already been conceptualised, documented, agreed upon and mobilised, right? And it's been ramping up overtly for the last year. But time's running out to get the plan implemented before we all find out what's going on. The current financial system is so fucked that the only way to fix it is essentially to temporarily prop it up with loads of cash and then throw it in the bin and start again. So what will your future look like once we've built back better, to coin the World Economic Forum phrase? Well, firstly, there'll be a new digital currency. Not a digital readout of your current bank balance in the current banking system, a crypto, presumably, of some nature, right? It'll be something that's brand new. Secondly, there'll be a digital 5G smart grid connecting everything from telco to media, driverless cars, drones, household appliances, utilities, waste management, emergency services, retail systems, airlines, public transport, and so on, right? And thirdly, there'll be a mandatory if you want to partake in the system, digital ID. That holds all of your personal information, medical records, driving license and record, financial info and bank balance, government services, travel info, criminal history, tax recordings, earnings, licenses, subscriptions, rental agreements, your carbon footprint, and most likely a social credit scoring system, which determines your ability to access the systems based on your compliance with it and with society as a whole, right? The fundamental backbone of this new society structure and strategy requires everyone to be on a universal digital platform with a unique individual digital ID. There's no other way it can happen. Absolutely no other way it can happen. But how do they encourage, motivate and demand that you adopt the new digital ID system? What better way than to limit your freedoms because of a virus? And then set you free once they can verify digitally that you've had the cure.
Yeah, he's bang on. I don't know what that guy's name is. I think I saw that a month or so ago, but it just kept recirculating.
Like a Londoner to me.
Yeah, he's
sounds like he's.
And if you want more details of what he's talking about, it goes even farther than that. Amazing Polly, another fantastic researcher here in Canada, she goes deep into the World Economic Forum and their agile governance.
I used to watch Amazing Polly a lot last year, and then she got on the whole hating vegans bandwagon.
So okay. Well, she still does extremely good work.
I know she does. She's a very good researcher. But I got everyone that I liked that I was watching. I used to watch the that farmer guy. What's his name?
Ice Age Farmer.
The Ice Age Farmer.
Yeah.
I used to watch him. And he was vegan bashing, and then she started vegan bashing. There was somebody else that I used to watch that did it. And I just thought, oh, I've had enough of this. So I went and I only listen to my friends now, and then my other vegan friends.
Yeah.
It's just, they're taking it out on us, and it's not right, you know. A lot of vegans are dying from the vax as well because they're so stupid. They don't even realize that vaccines aren't vegan. And they're all going and getting it. Most of them are complying.
Yeah, they're not really related. veganism and vaccine research, are they? They're not.
Well, they weren't until I started doing my stuff.
Right.
Because.
But yeah.
I've been trying to educate them for years, but they've thrown me out of every vegan group on Facebook. I'm banned from them all because I always mention vaccines and big pharma and stuff like that. They're just, most of them are vegans anyway. They're not real vegans. They're not there for the animals. Mm-hmm. They're doing it for, 'cause it's trendy. And it's just a diet, which it isn't. It's not a diet at all. It's a complete lifestyle.
Lifestyle. Do you think the whole idea that because millennials today are not really interested in reproducing and having children, but they have their fur babies, their dogs, do you think the story about Fauci endorsing or the NIH's NIH testing on beagles is going to be the thing that actually unravels his little empire?
Maybe. I know that a lot of animal rights people have posted that around.
Mm-hmm.
That did go around a lot. But there was a whole movement inside the vegan movement. I think it was called nihilism,
mm-hmm.
where you're contributing to the cruelty and the pollution of the planet. So you should just kill yourself, basically.
Right.
And if you can't kill yourself, at least don't have any babies.
Right.
And it was nuts. These people are completely nuts.
There's another guy on YouTube. I think he moved to another video platform. His name is, on YouTube, is The Social Credit. Social Experiment. Have you seen this guy? He's an antinatalist. Have you ever heard of an antinatalist?
That's it. That's the one, antinatalist. That's the word.
Yeah, antinatalist. I never heard of it before. He's actually funny, but I find him aggravating after a while because he's so off the wall.
Oh, I don't want to hear him. I've had enough of them antinatalists. So
I never heard of one before I saw him.
Well, most of them are in the animal rights movement. There's them, and then there's another faction of they've got an even longer name, and it's all to do with gender equality and anti-racism, but extreme, really extreme. I can't remember the name of that, but it's basically ripped the whole movement apart.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing left of it now. It's all scattered and gone because of these two factions.
Has your we only have a few minutes left because we've been going over an hour, but I want to ask you a couple of questions about the anti-vax movement.
Go on, fire away.
When did you get into? Do you call it anti-vax, or is that too negative a term?
That is definitely not my term. That was built by the Wakefield lot. They started all that.
Is Wakefield, now that you mentioned him, do you think he's controlled opposition? Did they bring him in?
No, I don't think he's controlled opposition. I think he's part of the system.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they've thrown him out of the system, he still wants to be a part of it. And he's he's doing good work.
Okay.
But he's also just trying to make a living.
But is he pro-vax and only anti-MMR or triple formula?
He's not anti-vax, no.
So he's pro-vax. So he wants you to have more vaxes.
He's pro-safe vaccines.
Right. So he wants you to have more vaxes. So instead of three in one, he wants you just to have three.
Well, he wanted to test them on chimps.
Right.
Which is what put me off him. And also, when we were trying to bring up the whole measles virus trial with him, because his whole thing was that he found measles virus in the children of in the stomachs of the children that mm-hmm. had autism. He said that the vaccine virus was in their guts.
Right.
And I was like, well, hang on, it's already been proved that there isn't a measles virus, so what are you talking about? But he would never answer those questions. We all tried, a few of us tried, and he'd just ignore it. And the whole vax team have ignored the whole virus fraud thing.
So what is the best term to describe someone who is against vaccines? Not anti-vax. Is there a better term?
Anti-vaccination.
Say again?
Anti-vaccination.
Okay. So even though it's so that's just the long version of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just with the two X's, the vax thing, it was all like a big promo.
Mm-hmm.
Promo word that they made up for their movement.
So that's the weaponized version. That's the weaponized term.
Yeah.
That's the Holocaust denier version of revisionist.
Yeah. I mean, the anti-vaccination movement's been around ever since vaccines have been around. It's as old as vaccines are.
Well, and actually, before vaccines, they were called inoculation. And
they were banned.
Right, but the word inoculation was so negative, they rebranded vaccination. That's what I read.
Well, they actually didn't just rebrand. They did. They rebranded, mm-hmm. and they made it so that, inoculation could be done by anyone. You could just go to your local farmer and say, can you inoculate me?
Right.
But
give me some cow pus.
When they patented vaccinations by using pus from a cow, because vaca means
cow
in Latin, mm-hmm. so they basically patented inoculation by pretending to just use cow pus instead of human pus.
Right.
And then it became illegal for anyone to do inoculation. You had to go to a registered doctor, and the registered doctor was paid lots of money. So mm-hmm. It was to do with making money right from the start.
Right.
But yeah, inoculation was going to be banned anyway because it was killing so many people. So they had to cover it up, and, you know, it was kind of a reset.
Right. It was just a rejigging of, it was a refinement of the business model, and it was turning it into a
reset of the health system.
Mm-hmm.
It was the start of making big money for mm-hmm. a few people and controlling the medical system, building it and controlling it. And I think what's going to happen now is we're going to have another reset of the health system.
Yeah.
And I think there will be rid of vaccines anyway. So there's probably no point in genning up on them because they're probably going to be gone soon. And I don't know if they were going to try and replace vaccines with this new stuff, but it doesn't seem to be going very well. But then it didn't go very well at the start of vaccinating either, but they managed to cover it up and it went on for another 200 years.
Yeah. It's a 200-year-old lie, and it just shows you that only a few people are smarter 200 years later, but the majority of the population is still pretty stupid, even though they have infinite access to infinite information. Like, it's hard to believe that there's only you and myself and a few others really talking about this. There should be a million people talking about this because it's in everyone's arms right now. The weapon is being pointed at everybody.
Uh-huh.
Everyone is
talking about it because they're calling it a bioweapon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're talking in their narrative. But I'm amazed that every single person that's considering getting the injection, they should watch at least one vax movie of vaccine-damaged children. Just one.
Mm.
And if that puts a seed of doubt in your brain, then you should watch another one. And then if you see enough, you should think, hey, what is the upside? What is the downside? And if you
mm-hmm. I think the anti-vaccination movement was growing so big.
Yeah.
just before all this happened, the biggest thing in the news was vaccine hesitancy. They were talking about it in every single country.
Mm-hmm.
This was the problem that they had to get rid of, was vaccine hesitancy. And now we've got this. So yeah. it does seem like the big last death throes of an industry to me.
Well, yeah, they're so desperate that they are forcing you without precisely forcing you. They're literally backing you into the tightest of corners where you cannot turn left, you can't turn right. You have to go through their needle gateway to get back into the world, and that's what they've done. And
yeah, legally, lawfully, and spiritually, they can't force it on you. They can't forcibly poison us.
Right.
They have to get us to poison ourselves.
Yes, yes.
To volunteer to be poisoned. So that's what all the psychological bullshit's about. They can't just round us up and stick needles in our arms. They're not allowed to.
Yeah, that's against their satanic religion.
It's against all the laws.
Right.
All the laws of nature, God,
right.
the devil, everything. It's against everything.
Yeah, so even in their sick minds, they can't do it.
No.
And actually, I think that was brought up maybe by Jason Christoph, who is another Canadian. I really like his stuff. And he brought up the new series called The Cult of the Medic. Have you heard of that?
No, I used to, I follow him on Facebook, and mm-hmm. he used to post a lot.
Yeah, you got to go right to his website. You got to go to his website.
Okay, send me the link.
Yeah, I've posted tons of his stuff. I think it's, but he suggested Cult of the Medic.
I loved his posts on Facebook. They were amazing.
Yeah, you got to get off Facebook because you're not going to get all the information that you need, because he probably has backed off from Facebook as well, just because
he's probably been chopped off, I think.
Yeah, chopped off, or he's being shadow banned, or you're not getting. Yeah, it's jchristoph.com. This guy is such a good speaker. He is so smart too. And
have you had him on your show?
No, I'm going to get him on if I can. He does a ton of shows. Sometimes these people are so overexposed, I'm not sure what I could actually ask them, because they've really said everything that needs to be said. But he's just amazing.
They're repeating.
Say again?
Repeat.
Yeah, I'm sure I could say something that he hasn't... I could ask him.
The more people hear things, the more that they learn, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure I could ask him something he's never been asked. But again, I'm still listening to all. He does so many interviews every day that I'm not even sure I could get through to him, because he's got so many people. But he does a great solo podcast where he can just. So one guy today, I listened to one of his podcasts. I put it on FacoTube. The guy asks him one question, and he goes on, Jason Christoph goes on for half an hour without interruption. He just has such a stream of content. He's got so much information in his brain that he just keeps going. You have to interrupt him to get him to, but it's all good stuff. He was today explaining the purpose of war. And really the purpose of war is to get rid of young men. It's pretty simple, because young men are the most threatening to the establishment.
I think that's what they're trying to do this time, is try and get rid of the young people, because they've got rid of the old ones because they didn't want to pay them their pension because the banks were all bust. Then they've tried the middle group, and they're not dying very well. So I think they're going to go for the teenagers and the kids next. And basically, they don't necessarily have to kill them.
Sterilize them.
Just make sure they don't have babies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I told my daughter, I said, listen, I'm sorry, I have to use the same tactic against her. I said, I have to basically threaten them. I said, if you go anywhere that needle, your financial lifeline is cut. You're just going to have to, I'm sorry I have to blackmail you, but I'm so serious about this thing. You get one of these shots, yeah, you might not keel over dead tomorrow, but you have no idea what it's going to do to your ovaries. None. Zero. And they even tell you they don't know. And of course they wouldn't know. Well, they do know. I'm sure they know. But the proof is not going to come out for a couple of years. When and it's going to be too late for you.
Yeah.
So I just said, you have to trust me on this. And like, now that I've been watching people like, I was going to ask you about Forrest Moretti. Have you heard of him? Forrest Moretti?
Yeah, I told you.
Oh, yeah.
I used to like him years ago.
Oh, right.
And I used to post his videos in my vaccine groups.
Mm-hmm.
And, he did a lot of good videos at the time. They were great at the time. But then we kind of moved on. We kind of got into the germ theory and the virus theory thing.
Oh, and you left him behind on that.
He didn't move along with us. So
okay.
We left him behind.
Right. And I think he was insulting towards women or something. You didn't like that.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Well, he does a lot of social Christian commentary as well, which I kind of like. And one of the things he went off on is unequal.
Yeah.
Where he says, men, women, different groups, ethnicities, we're not equal, and that's the whole point of life.
No one's ever going to be all equal, are mm-hmm. we? That's silly.
Yeah. You can't force equality.
You can have equal rights, but you're never all going to be equal.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be some people who are like not physically able to do the same as other people. I mean, I would never say that I'm as strong as a man. I used to work in a gym when I lived in America.
Oh yeah,
and I used to love doing the weights, and the guys in the gym told me that women can do the same weights as a man on the bottom of their bodies, the legs.
Right. Okay.
Can't get anywhere near what a man can do on their.
Oh, that's interesting.
So we're not equal.
Yeah,
we can do things that you can't do.
Yeah, you can make life. We can just take it. You can make it. We can take it.
Well, it takes two.
Yeah, it takes two to tangle.
Can't do it on our own.
Right. Well, now they're trying to say you can. But getting back, let's just finish on this. So you're in what anti-vaccination groups are you in that have changed over the years, and are they still active now?
I made my own anti-vaccine group.
Okay.
Because they were deleting groups, and they were taking them over.
Mm-hmm.
They were being taken over by shills constantly.
Right.
As soon as a group got to a certain number, the shills would come in, take it over, and it was dead.
Okay.
So then I was trying to explain to people about the virus fraud. This was a few years ago, and they would kick me out of the vaccine groups for that.
Right.
So I just made my own. I made my own group.
And can we find it now?
It's called The Truth About Vaccines Ireland.
Where is it?
On Facebook.
Ah, it's on Facebook. Okay.
Yeah. But it's very shadow banned. It's very difficult to find it now.
Let me type that in. The truth?
I don't really post it
about vaccines Ireland?
Hmm?
The truth about vaccines Ireland, you said?
Yeah.
You're right, I can't find it.
No, it doesn't come up on a search. I don't know how I still get requests for people to join, and I don't know how they find the group, because I can't even find it.
Well,
my group.
Okay. Can I find it through your name?
I have Cancer Research Fraud on Facebook as well, and that's the same. That's been shadow banned.
Are you Tracy Northern on there? On Facebook?
Yeah, but that's... Yeah.
There's too many of those. There's lots of Tracy Northerns, though. Well, if you can give me a link, but you're not actively posting on it anymore.
I am on my Facebook, yes, but not so much in the groups.
Okay. Well, if you have a link to the anti-vaccination group, I'd like to see it.
Okay. I'll send it to you.
Mm-hmm. I'll post it in the show notes if you want to get people
in. I had to close my Facebook because it kept beeping. So
right. Okay. Well, when you get it, you can email me, or you can just email me and I'll post it. But it's not active.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is
active. You just can't find it.
Right. So you're still putting lots of stuff in there.
I haven't put anything in for a while. A couple of other people have posted stuff in there. But the thing is, there's files in there. What I did was I set up a load of files. So all the information, if you want information on vaccines, it's all in the files. So you don't really need to post stuff anymore. If all the information's there if they want to find it.
Yeah, there's no, in this age of super censorship, there's no way you're going to come up in a search on Facebook. There's not a chance. Not a chance. They've buried anything with the word vaccine now. It's so deep.
Can you find people on Facebook by their email address? The one that they register with.
Don't know. I've never tried. I'm not big on Facebook, but yeah, if you can, just send me the link is easier. Once you got the link, you're good to go.
Okay.
That's the best way.
Okay.
All right.
When I get off.
Yeah, just send it to me. You've got my email, ima@fakeologist.com. You can send it to me on Discord, Telegram, if you're on Telegram. I think I found you through Amanda Ballmer, ADV.
Oh, yeah, I love Amanda.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else that thinks just like you on the internet besides Amanda?
Jim O'Kelly. You heard of Jim O'Kelly?
No.
He kind of was one of the ones who got me started on the antivirus thing.
Okay.
Because he was talking about it way before anyone else. I was just looking at Lanka.
Oh, vaxtruth.com.
Hmm? Jim O'Kelly, he started.
Yeah, he's vaxtruth.com. I am the storm. Wait, paper.
Yeah, he's pretty full on, and he doesn't take no shit from anyone.
But he knows. So is he from Ireland?
No, I think he's Irish American. But he's from America. But I've had chats with him and he's kosher. You could have him on your show.
I should.
Come on.
He's on whale.to. Is whale.to a reliable place? Shotsoftruth.com.
Yes, Whale's great. I used Whale a lot for my research. In fact, that's where my friend John Wantling's on there, the badger guy.
Okay.
He's on whale.to. That's probably where I found him.
Yeah, Whale.
Yeah, you use Whale for everything. It's brilliant. There's stuff on there that you can't find anywhere else. Like Eleanor McBean's book, that's in there. That's on there in full. The Poison Needle. Have you ever read that?
No.
Well, if you want to read about anti-vaccine stuff, you definitely should read Eleanor McBean's book. It was written back in the 1950s, long time ago, but it's still totally relevant today. Because her parents were part of the Spanish flu debacle. And they were anti-vaxxers.
I wonder who runs whale.to. I don't know. Who's behind that one? That's an interesting one.
John Scudamore.
Oh, that's his website?
Yeah.
John Scudamore. What's Because it's got quite a bit of, is it all health? Is it everything about health?
No, it's all sorts of stuff. It's all the, it's about 9/11 and all the conspiracies, everything's in there. It's a brilliant website. But he's not online anymore. He's gone into hiding.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know. Maybe someone's after him. But I had a friend that I have a friend of a friend that knows him, so I can get in touch with him through two people.
Oh, okay.
He's not online anymore.
Interesting. I hope it's not. I hope that. Do you think this research we're doing is dangerous?
It could be dangerous to your health. Yeah.
Oh, great. Jesus.
It depends how big you are. Just don't get too big.
I'm tiny.
Don't get too famous.
Well, I'm tiny. But I just hope there could be 10,000 tiny people with maybe 20 people watching at a time. Then we're more dangerous than they are. If we could have all these tiny cells all over the place that are just spreading this truth.
Exactly. If you tell one person and they go and tell two people and then those two people tell four people.
Right.
That's how it spreads, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like the...
Better than just having one guru stand in front of 1,000 people telling them what to do.
I agree.
That's
So that's a fantastic resource, Jim O'Kelly. That's a good resource. Mm-hmm. Shotsoftruth.com. There's so many websites out there. It's quite amazing. It's just quite amazing how many there are.
Well, he built that website himself, and it's an absolute mess. And I've told him that if he wants me to help him fix it, I would help him fix it for nothing. But he's fine. It's fine. Just leave it.
Shotsoftruth.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some good stuff. He likes to collect old books, so right. He has a lot of old historical stuff.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's a mess. Yeah,
hasn't even updated for a long time. It's all still very relevant. Vaccines are still exactly the same as they were back then. They haven't changed them. They try and pretend they have, but they haven't.
So what do you think the main thing in a vaccine is that is poison? Is it aluminum hydroxide? Is it just the metal or is there something else? There's got to be one.
It's the heavy metals, the antibiotics. They all have antibiotics, which is basically poison.
Right.
Anything that will kill your bacteria is going to kill you as well.
Right.
So it's just a mishmash of poisons. And the heavy metals, which, because your body can deal with so much poison, but when they put a load of them together in a combination, it makes it more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they also add proteins in as well.
Right.
And that's the main problem with causing allergies and anaphylaxis and all that stuff.
Right.
Proteins. Yeah, it's just a combination of assaults on different parts of your body, basically. The heavy metals affect your brain and your nervous system. The some of the poisons affect your nervous system as well. And your guts and, just everything. It's just a massive assault, basically.
And if you keep punching yourself with these boosters and every 3 months, you're never going to recover. You have
no chance.
And one of them will be a knockout punch, I'm guessing, as well. Because you're already down on the canvas trying to recover, and then one of them will just push you over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Kill switch.
All right. Well, Northern Tracy, that was a good call. We've been going for almost 2 hours. We could certainly talk for even longer, but
I'm going to bed.
We have to limit ourselves, but the quality of the call was good. The audio turned out to be really good. And We got tons of great links out of you. I got all your videos that I put on FakoTube. They're listed in the show notes. We found out about Florence Scovel Shin, so there's some great listening there. We found out about Jim O'Kelly and his website. We found out about your old radio show, so now I'm going to have to listen to that.
Yeah.
So I think we got a lot of information for people to listen to. And if this just makes one person in the entire world doubt what's in this vax and every other vax you've taken, and then we would have done our job. You know, I know my daughter hates me talking about it, but she was just diagnosed a year ago with type 1 diabetes. And the official story on that is they have no idea what causes it.
It's vaccine damage.
Anytime you find a disease where there's no known cause, or they're going to deep dive and do lots of research into genetics, yeah, it's vaccine damage. I'm certain of it. And the only person that was able to explain that that I found recently is Dr. Molden. And he was saying that it's basically, it's ischemia. It's end vascular tissue. The pancreas is an end vascular organ. It's only serviced by probably one vascular system. So there's no backup.
You should get in touch with Amanda about that, because I'm sure she could help you with that.
Yeah, I know. I did talk to her actually on a show, and she's big on DMSO. But yeah, so now I'm on a bit of a crusade, because of course, when I see my daughter inject herself four times a day, it just bothers the hell out of me, because the explanation that, I think Forrest actually came up with the other half of the equation, and that is females, when they're poisoned with vaccines, their bodies are able to maybe isolate the toxins and store them in fibroids.
Well, it's to do with girls have more lining on the nerves.
Oh, okay.
We have more body fat.
All right.
And fat is where toxins get excreted to.
Right.
Once they're in the fat, they can't do any damage.
Okay.
This is why really fat people are actually just completely toxic.
Okay.
They're carrying all the toxins around their body, like blubber, where it can't affect their organs.
They're fat because they're toxic. Their body is just built. It can't get rid of it, so it stores it. So they're just poisoned.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so further to what Forrest was saying, he said that as a woman gets into, or as the girl gets into her late teenage years, when she starts regularly menstruating, the relaxin is a hormone that is used by the body to flush the uterine lining. And that is what also loosens the fibroids and releases the toxins. And that's why many teenagers, when they start regular menstruation, they get all these autoimmune disorders, because the toxins released because of the relaxin, and it just goes and kills all this end vascular tissue through ischemia. So I thought, man, that's a pretty damn good theory. I don't know if he can prove it. He says he basically says go ahead and prove it. But things like lupus and type 1 diabetes, they occur more in females, apparently.
Okay. Well, that it's definitely to do with the females have more fat in their bodies and on their bodies.
Right, but why? So, do you think that that's a possibility, that females tend to have more autoimmune disorders and males have more autistic characteristics?
Yeah, they definitely do have more male autism, definitely. But that's to do with the myelin sheath,
right?
That's the lining on the nerves, which is a kind of fat, and
that's
girls
right.
have more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we just have to take pieces from all these researchers who are basically speculating, but nobody else is doing it. The medical industry will not investigate themselves.
No, of course they won't.
That will never happen. So we have to rely on all these theories that will never be scientifically researched, because they will not give one dime to anyone researching it. So we're going to be left in the dark.
It's hilarious, because whenever you go on talks like this and you start telling people that germs don't cause disease and there's no such thing as viruses, the first thing they ask is, well, why have I got this? What's causing this disease? What's the cure? You know, they start to think that you're some kind of doctor and you're going to give them all the answers. But there aren't any answers, because no one's researched it.
And there's no money to research it, and there never will be.
We're in new territory.
Yeah, there we are.
Yeah.
All right, well, I hope you'll come back on again, because I think... Okay. Just having a nice, relaxed conversation. Did you find it easy?
Yeah, it was good. It's very good.
So you don't need to bring a script to this show, Tracy, is what I'm trying to tell you. But
the thing is, if I get inspired and I want to let something out, that's what happens usually. I suddenly want to talk about something because it's needling me. I'll let you know.
Yeah, if you do have a script, if you have a great post that you put together and you want to just verbalize it, definitely. Okay. Come to me and I will I'll either let you just go on and on, or I will ask you about it, because I really think that you write something and you want to know if it's resonating with the other end, because there's no point in writing something if no one understands it. So I'm not saying I'm smart enough to understand everything you write, but if you talk about it, sometimes it's easier than just reading it. So, yeah, I like your style. I like what you write. And I agree with your theory. And there's almost no one else to talk to about it. So it's good to be able to bounce it off someone like yourself.
I'll let you know then.
Yeah. Come back real soon.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, Northern Tracy. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And thanks to everybody here for joining in. We do this show Sunday to Thursday. We have guests sometimes. We talk about the blog. See, tonight we didn't talk about the blog, and we didn't talk about FACO 2, but we talked with a great guest who is one of the few people in the entire world that has this kind of information, and I find it fascinating. She's a real no-nonsense approach. Go to her blog, Northern Tracy. It's all linked in tonight's show notes. I think this was a pretty interesting show, and I definitely want to have her back, because we didn't even do any deep dives into her past posts. And just, it's cutting edge stuff to me. And the reason why we know it's cutting edge is because nobody talks about it. Everyone talks about all the things that are allowable, but we talk about the real. I think she's got the real deal. And that's why I find this kind of stuff fascinating. Okay, next show will be Saturday morning with the Australians. If you're an Australian, you must attend 4 a.m. Eastern, or 6 or 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. Sydney time. That's going to be on the audio chat. So go to fakeeleven.com/Discord. Go to fakeologist.com/donate if you like the show. And we're signing off for now. Have a great night. Bye now.